as I was meditating, of course I sent the slick text out yesterday, and as I was meditating on what the Lord had put on my heart to share, that's when he dropped in my spirit to lay hands on the sick at the end of service. And so we're going to have healings today. Praise God. So if anything going on in your body, that's the call for it, because there's an anointing here for it. And, you know, even if you're standing in faith, you know, coming forward does not mean you're not in faith. It very well could be your answer, you know, and God calling that out and the healing anointing here. Jesus had a healing anointing, and what was it for? To destroy these things. And so praise God for that. So Father, we love you this morning. Be God in this place. We are open to you and whatever you want to do. May your deeds be done, made manifest. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. And Father, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for it. Father, this is a word in season. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for what you've given us, what you've spoken to us, and what will transpire in this service. We thank you. Bullseyes will be hit. Lives will be changed this morning, and we'll give you all the glory. Father, I know I say that a lot, and I'm not just saying out of vain repetition. You get all the glory. You get all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's turn to Romans 10 and verse 17 to start. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Very familiar scripture around here. But there's a principle in here that, you know, not only is it work for us, if we don't understand the principle, this will work against us as well. And so Romans 10 and verse 17 says this. It says that faith, that's belief, isn't it? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. And so when it's talking about faith here in this context, he's talking about the Bible faith, the good kind of faith. And he's saying there's only one way that that's received, and that's received or birthed by the Word of God. There's no other way to get it. You can't pray for faith. You can't ask for someone to lay hands on you to give you faith. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God. But that word faith is just belief. And how many of you know you can have right beliefs and you can have wrong beliefs? You know, there are people in the body of Christ who are heaven bound, who are, born again, children of God, loved by him, and they love him. And really, it goes back to the offering scripture, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And they're living life convinced in belief that they're never going to be healed in their body. That the condition that they're facing, whether it's because it's been years, whether because, you know, doctors have told them it's incurable, whatever, they're convinced. They have faith, don't they? It's wrong faith, but they have faith. And there's people that believe that, you know, they're never going to get out of their financial situation, that life is just going to be a constant struggle, that things will never change in their family, things will never change in their life. And the point is, they have faith. It's the wrong faith. But the principle that I want you to see is that it says, faith cometh by hearing. So when the way that belief is formed is through hearing, whether it's good faith or wrong faith, it's still produced the same way. Amen. You know, you think about children that grow up with wrong parents. And what I mean by that is parents that act wrong, that treat them wrong. You know, there's kids by 7, 8 years old, they're convinced they're worthless. They're convinced they're nobody. They're convinced they're failures. Why? That's all they've heard. Yeah. You know, as sad as that is, they've been told certain things over and over and over. Well, you tell them over and over again, a belief system is formed. Well, how did it come? It came by the hearing. And so if you go to Mark chapter 4 in verse 24, Jesus again, in his love and mercy for us, knowing how faith would work and knowing how these principles would work. Look what he said in Mark 4 and verse 24. And Jesus said, go ahead and be careless and thoughtless with whatever you hear. Be casual with what you hear. No, Jesus said, look at this, take heed. The Amplified says it this way, be careful. Take heed with what you hear, or be careful what you're hearing. Why? We know the principle that if you hear wrong things, you'll get a belief system of wrong believing. If you hear right things like the word, you'll have a different belief system. And remember, we only can receive based on our faith. All things are possible to what you believe. Well, if you don't believe anything's possible because you've been hearing over and over that's not, then nothing will be possible. But I love how he warned us. Take heed in what you hear. And how many people are so casual with their hearing? You know, remember in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, blessed are they which walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, what is counsel? Counsel is the talking, the advisement, praise God. How many people are around the wrong things and hearing the wrong things concerning their body, concerning their kids, concerning their money, concerning their situation? You know, I'm very careful. I've had to learn the hard way. I'm very careful who I let on and let into my world to know what I'm going through. Why? Because I need to know that their response is going to do something good for me and not bring me down. But people have surrounded themselves with friends and family. And I know some of these things at times are unavoidable. But also, there's things that we can avoid by planting ourselves under the voices, under the wrong talking that will lead to the wrong believing. You know, there's people that are absolutely terrified in life and convinced of certain things because all they do is watch the news. Well, I'm here to tell you, the news really doesn't have a whole lot of good to offer you. It's a lot of doom and gloom, and people listen to that, or people listen to certain music, and it's dark, and it's sad and depressing, and they listen to it over and over, and Jesus warned us. He said, you got to be careful what you're letting in. Yeah, hallelujah. You have to be careful how you're letting these things in. Why? Faith will grow. Faith will grow. I don't want to surround myself with doom and gloomers. I don't want to surround myself. You know, there's people God's put in my life just that are encouragers to me, that help me and build faith in me. Praise God. That's why we say if you need a faith pep talk, call your pastor. It might not be the time to go to mom or dad. Might not be the time to go to grandma or grandpa. Might not be the time. You know, there's certain things we're believing for. You know, that God has put on our hearts, or things that we can have by the word that the natural would say no. The world doesn't understand these things. And so they're going to shoot you down. They're going to tell you how wrong you are. They're going to tell you how bad it is, how impossible that is, how you're crazy. And if you open your ears to those things, they'll get in you. You know, I remember it was years ago, I had had some things going on in my body, some symptoms. And I did the first wrong thing you can do is Google it. I mean, that's just not a good thing to do, because you know what the internet can do to you. And I did, and it came up that either I'm facing something very minor or something very serious. And the doctors confirmed that as much when I went and told them my problems. They said, well, it could be nothing, could be something. And I'll just come right out and say it. I needed to have a colonoscopy is what it was, because I had some things going on and some blood was showing up and things. And so it could be minor, it could be major. Well, I had been spending time with God, and in this current situation, I didn't have insurance. But not having insurance is not the reason to not go to the doctor. You don't go the medical route if the Holy Ghost tells you. Many people get in trouble for not going the medical route because they think it's faith. But if they're not truly in faith, they get themselves in trouble. And I've had to talk a lot of people off ledges of false belief, where we've had to dig a little bit and realize, you know what, maybe your faith's not where it's at, and the surgery is probably the best thing for you to save your life or whatever. But anyways, in this situation, the Holy Ghost was very clear to me. What you're facing is nothing. It's a symptom that's not going to turn into anything. And I knew that. I had complete peace on that. And there's been other times I've violated not gone to the doctor, and I've struggled, you know. But I was thankful that the Holy Ghost told me this. I didn't have money to pay for the procedure. And it was, you know, with colonoscopies, there's fasting, and who likes to not eat? And things like that, and clean you out before you go. It's not the world's funnest process in the world, you know. So I appreciated that. Well, I made the mistake of getting around somebody that didn't know faith, didn't know the word, didn't know the Holy Ghost, and told them my symptoms. And oh boy, the floodgates opened of fear and worry. And my ears were wide open to it. Just sit there listening to it. And then when I left, you know, those words are right. Instead of shutting it down. No, Father, you said this. No, the word says this. No, in my ears, in my ears, in my ears. I opened my ears to it. And what happened? Belief came. And I believed I'm dying. I believe I must have the worst thing. Well, I went, had the procedure done, came right back. The doctor told me exactly what the Holy Ghost said. It was nothing, but now I'm strapped with thousands and thousands of dollars worth of a hospital bill that I can't pay. But the point was, the reason I got to that place, I opened my ears to the wrong thing. And Jesus said, you better be careful what you're hearing. Now, hearing, not only hearing, but he also warned us about our sight. Go to Luke 11, 34. Luke chapter 11 and verse 34. Luke chapter 11 and verse 34. So we know we have to watch what we hear, but ladies and gentlemen, you better watch what you're looking at too. And what I mean, I don't mean necessarily, it does apply here. Of specific, like you shouldn't be looking at wrong things on the air, shouldn't be looking at wrong things on the TV, shouldn't be allowing your eyes, that applies and that's true, that won't lead to any good thing. But I'm talking just in general, what is your gaze fixed on? What is your attention looking at? Because that's also what it's talking about. But he says here, the light of the body is the eye. Look at that. Therefore, when the eye is single, it means, you know, single focus on the right thing, the whole body is full of light. But when your eye is evil, the body is full of darkness. So what it's saying is when your eye or your gaze is fixed on the wrong thing, it can lead to darkness throughout your whole body. And he says in verse 35, take heed, there it is again, take heed or be careful that the light that is in you be not darkness. So what is basically Jesus telling us in both of these two places? Be careful what you hear and be careful what you see. Right? Be careful what you hear, be careful what you see. Why? Whatever you're hearing and seeing, you're letting something in. Whatever gets in you is going to be the result of what eventually proceeds and transpires and manifests out of you. Remember, out of the abundance, the mouth speaks. What's in will come out and manifest out. If there's evil and darkness in you, it will manifest in certain ways. It will manifest in wrong living. It'll manifest in sickness and disease. It'll manifest in depression and anxiety and those things. It absolutely will. Now, I need you to know something. Go to Acts 10:38. We're round about getting somewhere here. Acts 10:38. And then I just might pull my soapbox out, jump up on that thing, and go after it. Praise God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now, you need to look at the contrast here, because God gets credit a lot for what the devil's doing. And God gets blamed for what the devil's doing. But look at the contrast here. God anointed Jesus. That means God put a power or an endowment on him. That would mean what? God would want that on him. It was God's idea, God's plan. But for what purpose? With the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. So God's plan, God's place in all of this, God's perspective is I'm a healer, I want my people healed, so much so I'm going to anoint my son with a power to go about in healing people. God is not the sickness causer. And if you are convinced or think in your mind that God is causing sickness, you'll never walk into healing. Because why would you think you could be healed if God wants you sick? It's one of the biggest lies. That's why my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When you don't know that God wants you healed, you'll always struggle to be healed. Praise God, you will. Hallelujah. It's the truth. And so you have to have the right knowledge. You have to have the right knowledge that God is a healer. And he tells us here, so much so, I anointed my son Jesus to go about and healing people that are sick. But here's what you need to know. Healing all that were oppressed. Sickness is oppression. Yeah. Oppressed of the who?
Devil.
Devil. You have to understand God is not in partnership with Satan. And God is always the same. So if God is healing one day, he's healing the next day. If God's healing the next day, he's not causing sickness the day after that. But the devil is the oppressor. And you need to understand, and you need to get a hatred for this, sickness is evil. I'm not saying if you're dealing with sickness, you're evil, but the sickness itself is rooted in evil. Why? Because sickness ultimately from the root is from Satan and his kingdom. You know, God's intention, if you ever want to know what God's plan was, always go back to the beginning. Because the beginning was God's original intention. What was God's original intention? Bliss, happiness, full supply. There was no sickness. There was no disease in the Garden of Eden. There was no lack in the Garden of Eden. There was no death in the Garden of Eden. God's intention was never death, never sickness. You say, what's God's intention concerning these things? Health and wellness. From the get-go and the outset, that was his idea. Now, most people, I mean, I know churches in Cattaraugus County that I've watched on their live stream where their pastor has gotten up, talked about a sickness or things in his own body and how God put it there for a reason. And that's what he's feeding people. God has no sickness in heaven in his bag of tricks to give people. The Bible says every good and perfect gift is from above. Sickness is not a good and perfect gift. It's called an oppression of the devil. And so you have to understand where sickness comes from. Sickness is evil. You ought to hate it. You ought to hate sickness, praise God. You ought to want that thing off you. It's trespassing. Okay, so now we've established something. You better watch out what you're hearing, because what you're hearing, you'll have faith for. You better watch out what you're seeing, because what you're seeing will cause change and cause your body to be transformed in certain ways. Well, what have our eyes and ears been bombarded with for the last year and a half? Evilness. Sickness and disease have ruled the earth for the last year and a half. Going on 2 years here. The coronavirus, the pandemic. It's all we hear about. It's all we see. When you go into the store and you see the mask, it's seeing. It's doing something. When you hear people talking about it, it's getting in you. When you watch the news and the doom and gloom and all the reports and the manic, and now there's a Delta variant. And then there'll be an Echo variant. And then there'll be a Bravo one. And then there'll be a Charlie one. And it won't stop. And it gets in and it gets in and it gets in. And we've been bombarded. Bombarded with nothing but sickness. And we better be careful what we in this world choose to listen to and choose to fix our attention on. I know, like that person that I was around that talked, there's certain things that are unavoidable. I know you can't live a life and not hear about these things, but you certainly don't have to incline your ear towards it or incline your eyes towards it. Just like those people in your life, there's certain people you have to be around, loved ones and stuff, that you don't forsake, but you don't sit there and take counsel from them either, you know, and maybe have to pull back a little bit. But we've been bombarded and inundated with something that the Bible calls evil. Yeah. I think it was Vinny sent me a picture by text of a picture. It was a picture of Jesus, and it said something like of, not afraid of the Delta when I have the Alpha and Omega. And I love that. I said, wow, yeah, absolutely, that's right. But here's the thing about that. You know, and it's true. And a lot of people will tout that, and they'll probably put it on T-shirts and things, and I mean, that'd make a great T-shirt. You know, that'd really stick it to them, you know? And it's true, and a lot of people, you know, how do I want to say this? Soft, fluffy, flaky Christianity will get behind a statement like that. And there's no oomph behind it at all. Why there's no knowledge, there's no faith on what it really means. Just because you have Jesus as your Savior does not mean you will walk free of sickness and disease. It just doesn't. How do I know? There's lots of people that have Jesus as their Savior that are not walking free of sickness and disease. So you can, and that's a great thing. You shouldn't be afraid of Delta when you have the Alpha and Omega. And that's true, and a lot of people will say that, but there's a deeper meaning behind that for Word of Faith people that know absolutely, if we know the right thing, we absolutely should not be afraid of the Delta variant or any sickness and disease because of the Alpha and the Omega. And that's true. And that's true, praise God. But to just the same way, if you focus on the wrong thing will come. To get the right thing, then you have to not just claim we have the Alpha and Omega. You need to fix your eyes on the Alpha and the Omega. You need to fix your ears on the words of the Alpha and Omega for that to become a reality. Praise God. You know, I remember the Durants telling the story. Durants, for those that are unfamiliar, they're ministers that have come into our church, and we're good friends with them, very close to them. They're like family to us here. And, you know, they've been around faith circles, traveled with Brother Hagin, and they came out of Rhema Bible Training College. That's where I went in Oklahoma. And they were back when Brother Hagin was there in the heydays of Rhema and things. And they went back and visited, and there was an older lady that worked in the publication department, making the tapes and the books. And I don't know if she was getting ready to retire or what it was, but she had mentioned to them that Rhema, the insurance plan that Rhema had paid for her, she said, they were joking. She said, I feel bad, you know, Rhema's wasted its money on paying for insurance for me. And Kevin A. said, what do you mean? She says, I haven't been to the doctor. And she went on, it was decades and decades. And she's an older lady. And it caught him by surprise. Well, that's not the norm. Should be the norm, but that's not the norm. And they said, well, tell us your secret. Well, real quick, go to Proverbs 4. So tell us your secret. So she told them her secret. Well, look what Proverbs 4 says. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Not Fox News, not CNN, not MSNBC, not the internet, not grandma, not grandpa, not so-and-so, not coworker. No. Attend, have good attendance to my words. Look at this. Incline your ear to my sayings. That's what he's saying. He's saying the thing you ought to set your ear to is the things I'm saying. Praise God. Let them not depart from your eyes. What's he saying? It matters what you're looking at, and it matters what you're listening to. Glory to God. And again, when I'm talking fixing eyes, fixing your gaze, your stare, your attention on the word, he says, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they, what, the word that you incline to, are life unto those that find them. And then look at this, health, health, health. You want a health plan that doesn't fail? Proverbs 4, 20 through 22 is your health plan. They are health to all, head to toe, your flesh. And she said, think about it, Kevin and Annie. She said, for decades, I have gone to work, and for 8 to 10 hours a day, all I'm listening to is Brother Hagin teaching the word, or I'm reading his books, putting books together and listening to the word. She said, I have the word in me all the time. And the Bible says, if I'll incline my ear and my eyes to it, health will be the result. It's the truth. It's the truth. Doctors, this isn't something that they're wondering about. Doctors will tell you what the dangers of worry and stress can do to you. Well, how do worry and stress build up? Things you're looking at, things you're listening to. Yeah, you're sitting there focusing on the wrong things and imagining the wrong things and playing over in your mind. You're listening to the wrong things, and stress builds up. And it what? Gets in your body? And the Bible says what? When the wrong thing comes in, the wrong thing shows up, and your whole body's full of you, and then it manifests in a sickness and a disease or depression or anxiety or fear. Yeah. Hallelujah. We can't. Yes, we live in this world, but we have to be skillful in this world. This just came to mind. to bring this example out. Parenting your children is, according to the Word of God, is not popular in 2021. Family members will tell you you're wrong. The world tells you that you're wrong. Yeah. The textbooks will tell you that you're wrong. The psychologists and the therapists and the doctors and the pediatricians will tell you that you're wrong. Yeah. You should see the looks I get in the way that I handle my children in the sense of honor, respect, in comparison to some other people. They look at me like I'm crazy. Yeah. I was in a situation recently where someone told a kid to do something, and the kid said, well, I don't want to. And there was a back and forth, and it was so foreign to my mind. I wanted to explode. I said, that ain't the way it is with my kids. I don't give a flutie tootie if they want to or not. Well, I don't want to go to bed. I didn't ask. What is this? Democracy? We haven't taken a vote here or what? This is just so you know, Caleb and Abby, this is a dictatorship, and I am dictator daddy. When I want you to go to bed, you go to bed. When it's time for you to stop doing what you're doing, when I tell you, that's the time. I don't care what you want. Doesn't care what you, I don't care what you think. But the point is, it's difficult naturally to parent in that kind of a world because you're getting all sorts, especially when they're raised by two different parents. Maybe there was a divorce or something, and the other one doesn't have the same standards. You're made out to be so unreasonable and crazy, and yet you're right in line with the Word. Yeah. I love when Sister Annie said this. She said, the world makes out to be what the Bible calls a wife's role and a wife's duty as something as lesser, as a doormat. And she said, When a wife is operating in biblical principles as a woman, it's the most fulfilling and powerful role she could ever be in. Why? It's God-ordained. But the world will say the husband to be the head of the home. Now, you can get into the ditch and then you'd be a dictator. Listen, be a dictator toward your kids, not your spouse. Amen. Not your spouse. Hallelujah. And, you know, you can get in ditches on these things. But the world will say, that's demeaning towards a woman. No, no, no. When a woman is walking into her godly role as a woman of God, it is the most fulfilling, most powerful, most blessed thing there is. Why? It's ordained from perfection. He knows what he's talking about. But you get that pressure from the world. And all these things, the world tried, and how much for sickness and disease? I mean, it has literally been the only thing that has been at the top of all the news stories for a year and a half, and now it's starting to ramp back up again. Yeah. Right? The talk's starting to ramp back up again. And I'm not here to promote or not promote vaccinations and masks. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just here to promote the healer. Yeah. What you do with the information and what you get in yourself, I can't control that. My job is here to promote this stuff, to promote what's available to you, and hopefully you get it in you and walk in these things. Hallelujah. So, in the remaining time we have, which isn't a whole lot of time, I want to put Jesus in the spotlight. Amen. Coronavirus, sickness and disease, evil has been in the spotlight. And I want to give you something to leave here with, to when you're inundated with that stuff and the things that you can't control, you can go back and say, no, 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 eyeballs, this is what you're looking at. No, 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 ears, this is what you're going to hear. Okay? Go with me to John 3 and verse 14. John 3 and verse 14. This will help you. Amen. And just so you know, I don't need healing. Well, you know what? It'll work the same way for your finances. Yeah. It'll work the same way, but anything. Faith cometh by hearing. John 3 and verse 14. We're going to lift Jesus up today. Why? When Jesus is lifted up and you gaze upon him, things happen. John 3:14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and we're going to look at that in a second, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Well, we're going to go look at a portion of Scripture where Moses held up the staff and there was a serpent on it, told the people to look at it. He said, the same way Jesus is going to have to be put on something and lifted up. Well, was he put on something and lifted up? He was, the cross. But it says, even so. It's saying that when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, it was a type and shadow. So you have to understand a little bit about Bible and studying the Bible. The Old Testament is written in types and shadows. Everything points to Jesus. But there's types and shadows of Jesus. What do I mean? Like the serpent on the staff, the rod there, was a type of Jesus. Amen? When Abraham was told, go up the hill to sacrifice your son, it was a type and shadow of what was to come with the father sacrificing his son. A lot of these things in deliverance and types and shadows of the Holy Ghost and the outpouring and all these things. But anyways, he's saying you can liken Jesus being lifted up on the cross to what happened with Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. Well, why did Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness? Go to Numbers 21, way back at the beginning, and let's look at this, because whatever it was for them, we get what they got, because remember, we are under a new covenant established with better promises. So if they got something in the Old Testament, we get that and better. And he told us that Jesus is like when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So Numbers 21 in verse 8. Now here's what you have to know. There were snakes that were let loose. They had, through their own disobedience, consequences came. And these snakes would bite them. The venom would go into them. Their body would get sick, and they would be sick or they would die. And so they needed this taken care of. And look what it says. The Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent. Set it on the pole. And everyone that is bitten, when he looks, notice he says, to escape this, you got to be looking in the right place. You notice that? It's not enough that there's an Alpha and Omega. It's not enough that there's a serpent on a pole. If you're not looking at the serpent on the pole, it won't affect you. He says, put the serpent on the pole when he looks at it. Set on the pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, which would have the results, the sickness from the venom, when he looks, look at that, he shall live. Verse 9, and Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole. Now, in your mind, you might think, what in the world, how does this bring healing? Well, first of all, God's thoughts aren't your thoughts, but second of all, remember, type and shadow, type and shadow, type and shadow. This so we can have a John 3:14 that says, even so, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man must be lifted up, so we can know what we should look at to live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, not just because there was a serpent of brass, he had to look at it. When he beheld the serpent of brass, look at that, he lived. Do you see that there? Hallelujah. Praise God. So, as the Son of Man, so they had a serpent on a pole that gave them healing when they got sick. We have a Savior on the cross that we should fix our attention on, our thoughts, our ideas, our hearing on, that will bring results to us. So let's look at Jesus. Go to Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. This is needful in this time, because I'm telling you, people are going to slip back into worry. People are going to slip back into fear. It was amazing. I was in Virginia this past week visiting my mom and my sister, and I couldn't believe the stores that turned me away for not having a mask. I said, oh my gosh, we're here again. Yeah. The majority of all the people in the stores that we saw down there were back wearing the mask and everything, and just people are just freaking out again. Like, here we go again. It'll happen to the body of Christ. Yeah. But here's what you need to know. This, whether or not they come up with different letters and different names for different variants of COVID, it's not the last sickness and disease that's going to come on the earth that's going to attempt to rob us of our peace and our joy. That is ever-changing, but one thing isn't. The Alpha and Omega is unchanging. So we don't have to be moved with the ebbs and flows of a pandemic year, a non-pandemic year. We can stay steady if we keep our gaze steady. Amen. Galatians 3 and verse 13. And are you against mass? Are you against? No, I'm not saying any of that. A lot of that stuff I'm going to keep to myself, but I will preach the healer. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, some of these things You can't preach convictions to people because I know I have a voice of authority and influence. I'll preach the word real strong to you. But then you have to, I don't know where your faith is. You know, in fact, I'll tell you, and this wasn't an insult to some people. This is just the truth. When the coronavirus first hit, I wouldn't plan on changing anything. Now, we didn't know what we knew, but in my heart, I had nothing that for myself needed to change anything. I just thought, man, we're a faith church, a healing church. We believe in Psalm 91, and now it's like this is where the rubber meets the road, and I'd set the slick text out. We're not doing anything different. And when I did that, then I got a check in my spirit, and I started to get the division as I pray. It's like the Lord's saying, you don't preach from the level you're at. And I'm not trying to say, well, I'm at some level. I should be at a higher level if I'm feeding people. I mean, I should be. I'm around the Word all the time. There should be things that I have to offer. That's not ego statement to say that, but the Holy Ghost told me. And then what was interesting when the Holy Ghost told me that, I was listening to a random Brother Hagin message. And how the Lord corrected Brother Hagin years ago and said, you can't preach from the level that you're at. If to preach where the people are at. And I understood, no, we have to make changes because there's people in our circles, they are terrified. They are afraid. And we love and mercy doesn't just try to force the square peg in the round hole. Love is merciful and kind and patient and understanding. But we're at a place now, we've had a lot of time to take care of those fears. If you haven't, I'm sorry, that's not on me. I'm just telling you, you had a lot of time to build yourself up. And if you're afraid, that's okay, but you shouldn't be anymore. There's no reason for it. Why? The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Who is perfect love? He is perfect love. The more of Him you get in you, the less afraid you'll be. That is the truth. Praise God. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us. That word, one of the words for redeemed there is rescued. Rescued us from the curse of the law. Well, what's it talking about? Being made a curse for us. He became the curse so we wouldn't have to. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So there we go again. Talking about Him on the tree, the serpent on the pole, Jesus on the cross. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent and they looked at it, they'll live. Well, now He's saying that one of the things that happened on the cross was a redemption from the curse or a rescuing from the curse. Well, you have to understand what the curse is. Go back to Deuteronomy 28. We don't have a lot of time, so I'm not going to read a whole lot of this, if any of it. Might just tell you what it is, and then you can read it yourself. Now, understand some of this with the Old Testament. You have to understand some things studying words in Greek and Hebrew. In the Hebrew, verbs can be translated in the causative sense or the permissive sense. When they're translating the causative sense, it makes it sound like someone's causing or the reason for something happened. When they're translating the permissive sense, it's a situation of somebody allowing it to take place. Amen? And the reason I say that is because some of these things in the Old Testament say that God did this. Well, Houston, we have a problem if God is making people sick, but He's the same, and we're preaching now that it's the devil that makes people sick. Remember, the Old Testament is dark, New Testament's light. The New Testament sheds light on the Old Testament, and the New Testament told us, Acts 10:38, the devil oppresses people. God heals them. But in the Bible, that was translated by men, and thank God for the original Greek and Hebrew to go back and look, in some of these places, and if you study this and look at Hebrew scholars, they'll tell you they translated some of these verbs in the causative sense to make it sound like, and God did this, instead of God allowed it. We already know that God gave them the choice. Blessings or cursing, life or death. What does the New Testament tell us? The wages of sin is death. Well, who's the one that brings death? The devil. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you hear some things, don't let it trip you up. Remember, always interpret the old by the new, and the new is clear. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. The devil steals, kills, and destroys. God's not partnering with him. Amen? That's why you need a pastor to tell you some of these things. But anyways, in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1, all the way down to about verse 14, it talks about all the blessings that come from obeying the law. And in these blessings, you'll see that there's spiritual blessings that affect your emotions, your mind, but there's also financial and physical blessings laced all through these. But then if you go down to verse 15, but it shall come to pass if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe according to all his commands and statutes, command you this day, all these curses shall come on you and overtake you. So he's saying now the flip side is if you don't obey, it's the same thing. You know where the safest place for my children is? Inside the word that I've told them. The boundaries that I've told them. Don't go there at the house. Don't go do this. Caleb, when you're shooting a gun, stay within what I say. You know what's dangerous? When Caleb steps outside of my word and does things his own way. When I tell them don't ride your bike in the road, and they're old enough to know that, and they decide, I want to ride my bike in the road, and they step out of that boundary, and if they get hit by a car, that's not Dad causing them to be hit by a car. Don't climb the tree, Caleb. And he's, what are you, 11 or 12? 11. I never know. 11-year-olds should know when Dad says don't climb a tree, don't climb a tree. Well, if Caleb goes and climbs a tree and falls out and breaks his arm, Dad did not break his arm. And he's saying the curses will come upon you. Why? They stepped outside of Dad's word. There's protection in the word. Remember what it says in the New Testament, sheds more light. Anyone that sinneth not, the devil can't touch him. When you step out of God's word, you're in the devil's territory. That's where the wrong can happen. And so he's saying these curses will overtake you. Not because God is saying, oh, you violated my word, I'm cursing you with sickness. He doesn't have sickness to curse you with. But the wages and the enemy then has the right. But look at now, in Deuteronomy 28:15, if you study this, the curses of the law were not only curses in your mind, spiritually, emotionally, they were curses in your finances, and they were curses in your body. He went on and talked about many different sicknesses of that time. Many things that we don't have to worry about. Some of the things you can translate to newer, what they mean, but some things, you know, are obliterated, not things we worry about. But regardless, I want you to drop down to verse 61. So he's mentioning all the curses that will happen. But look what else is a part of that curse. Verse 61. Every sickness, every plague, which is not written in this book. Well, COVID-19 was not one thing you'd read from verse 15 to 61, but it's every sickness. The Delta variant of COVID-19 is not mentioned here, but it is in every sickness. And the next thing that the devil pops up and that the world births forward from its, you know, disobedience and things that come and the enemy tries to attack people with, even though we might not have ever heard it, might not be in this, it is every sickness. It's not written. He covers everything here. Yeah. Well, now think about what we read with Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ has rescued us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us, for it is written, everyone is cursed that hangeth on a tree. So it's talking about he became the curse on the tree, which rescued us from what? Every sickness and every plague. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we have the opportunity to live rescued and freed from every sickness, every disease. Why isn't that the mindset of the child of God? Why is it first, oh my God, I hope I don't get this thing? Why would our thoughts even go there? Because we have not gazed upon the one or listened to the one enough to build faith in us that when these things happen, our first response is, I have the Alpha and the Omega. I am redeemed. I am rescued. I am built up. I am walking through life in health and healing, because we don't attend to those things. We've looked and listened to, and our faith is in the wrong thing. And it's happening again. It's happening again, and it's going to happen again. And again, as long as you're on this earth, these tests are going to come up. But here's what you need to know. The reason he rescued us from these sicknesses is because he took them for us. Did you know that your Jesus on the cross would have tested positive for COVID-19? Did you know that? Say, really, Pastor Mike? Go with me to Isaiah 53. What am I trying to show you? Your Jesus on the cross. Why? That's what you need to be looking at during this time. That's what you need to be studying. I don't succeed, but I try every day to meditate in healing and faith scriptures. Healing and faith scriptures. Why? I constantly need that. Why? Because you're constantly being bombarded and battered with other things. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Now again, you can do the studying and the legwork yourself, or you can trust your pastor. Either one's going to come to the same conclusion. In verse 4, there's two words that you're going to read, griefs and sorrows. Well, the Old Testament was not written in English, it was written in Hebrew. So each English word that they put has a Greek word or a Hebrew word that it came from. Well, the Hebrew words that grief and sorrows came from translated elsewhere in the Bible, and what those original Hebrew words mean, griefs and sorrows, actually translated are sickness and disease. Sickness, disease, pains in the body. And so, for some reason, and if you go to other places in the Old Testament where those Hebrew words were found in the original manuscripts, they actually translated them, sickness, pains. For some reason, we don't know why. This is why, thank God, we can study to show yourself approved. The translators, when they read this, could not wrap their mind around that what this passage from Isaiah, now remember who Isaiah was, he was the messianic prophet. What's that mean? He had visions of Jesus and what was to come. They couldn't wrap their mind around what Isaiah saw and Isaiah wrote down in Hebrew. They couldn't wrap their mind around what he wrote, so they translated that it means griefs and sorrows, when in the Hebrew, the words that Isaiah wrote specifically, and the New Testament will back this up in a second, always take the new to explain the old, that Isaiah didn't mean, I saw griefs and sorrows, I saw sickness, pains, and diseases. Okay? So what are we talking about? Now, remember, the messianic prophet, he's now having a vision and he's writing it down. That's what prophets had back then. He's saying, in the vision, he saw something and he's writing it down. Surely he, who's the he? Jesus, has borne or took upon himself our griefs and carried our sorrows. Well, we know that's not griefs and sorrows, because I just gave you a whole lesson on it. Those Hebrew words are sickness and pain. So you read it this way. Isaiah's in the spirit. And he's seeing Jesus on the cross. And he's saying, oh, on the cross I see. He's bearing the sickness and the pains of the world. Now look at this. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now look at this. And with his stripes. What stripes? The stripes that Isaiah saw into the future that were coming upon Jesus. The stripes of what? Sickness. The stripes of disease. The stripes of the physical pain in his body. Look at this. With those stripes of him hanging on the cross, we are healed. That word healed, you look that up in the Hebrew, it's not talking anything spiritual. It's talking a physical healing. So he's saying, on the cross, I saw Jesus being hit with sickness and disease. Now, real quick, hold your place here in Isaiah 53. Jump over to Matthew 8:17. Give me 10 more minutes. We'll be out of here. Matthew 8:17. I only got one shot at you this week. Got to get my money's worth. Matthew 8:17. Actually, I'm sorry, Leah, we go back to verse 16. Matthew 8:16. Okay, so now we're in the New Testament. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits of the word, so he dealt with the demonic people, and also healed all that were sick. Well, didn't he do that everywhere he went? Now look at this. Healed all that were sick. This was a by the way, if you study this, this was a down payment of what the cross would do for people. Look at this. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So the writer of this book, Matthew, knew something about what the Old Testament said. He knew something about the book of Isaiah. And he's saying, I'm seeing Jesus healing people. This must be a fulfillment, and it was in part, it didn't fully get fulfilled to Jesus on the cross. This must be a fulfillment of what I'm familiar with, and I read that Isaiah wrote this. Remember what Isaiah wrote? Surely he has borne or took upon him our griefs and sorrows or our sickness and pains. Well, let's see here somebody who has the Hebrew manuscripts, how he translates, no better translator than him himself reading it from what Isaiah himself wrote. And he says what? This is what Isaiah wrote, saying himself took our griefs and himself took our sorrows. Nope. Matthew said what Isaiah said and what Isaiah saw was he saw Jesus taking people's sickness and pains in his body. You see that there? Now go back to Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Pastor Mike, you said something outrageous that Jesus would have tested positive for COVID. Well, Deuteronomy said we're redeemed from every curse, every sickness that's not even named. Well, how are we redeemed? By the one who hung on the tree. Well, what are we finding that happened on the tree? Surely he bore our sickness. COVID-19 is a 2021 our sickness. It's what people of this day and age are living. The Delta variant, that's our sickness. Well, how can we be free from it if we're not redeemed from it? And the only way we're redeemed from it is if Christ takes it. And the Bible says he bore our sickness and carried our pains. And verse 5 says the result is we can be healed. Now we are healed in God's eyes, we're healed, but we can walk in that manifestation. By how? Looking, fixing our gaze, our ears, getting our mindset, our heart filled with faith on these things. Are you following me? Yes. Picking up what I'm putting down? Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just want to make sure. Now, I want to close with this because what am I doing? I'm giving you something to turn your attention from. Imagine if you saw your cancer on him. He took it. I don't have to have it. Imagine if you saw your arthritis on him and realized, why am I carrying it if my Savior rescued me from this? Because remember, the thought will come, well, if this is true, why am I having it? No, remember, you receive by faith. And faith only comes with what you're hearing and what you're looking at. The right things. Because we've already established, you look and hear the wrong things, you're going to have the wrong kind of faith. Imagine seeing those joint problems, that knee issue, that shoulder, that internal, that female issue, on him. He's carrying it all. Imagine. And you got your faith on that. I don't have to have it. I'm free. Oh. Then you'd start the ball rolling towards your healing. Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Yancey's husband, was with Jesus, had a vision years ago. He was in a church taking up communion. It was like, he didn't understand it. He'd just become a Christian. And he said, Father, I don't understand what communion is about. Well, if you go back to the communion scriptures, the Bible says that he that drinks and eats unworthily drinks and eats damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Well, what's not discerning the Lord's body mean? Not understanding what Christ's body did. And then it goes on to say, for this cause. What cause? The cause of not discerning or understanding the Lord's body. Many are weak, sick, and sleep among you. He's saying when you don't discern or understand, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at it. It's the communion scriptures and hold your place in Isaiah 53. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is vital for you going forward. This is your health. This is your help. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 29, 1 Corinthians 11, 29. Remember, talking about communion, because Dr. Dufresne asked the Lord, Father, what does communion mean? Communion isn't just a time of going through some religious tradition. There's so much meaning for your life going forward in it. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation himself. Look at this. Not discerning the Lord's body. Well, what happens when you don't discern? I think it's amazing that the Lord put on my heart. I didn't have any idea it was going to tie into Hosea 4:6 today in the offering. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What's he saying? Not discerning the Lord's body, guess what that is? A lack of knowledge. He says when you don't have knowledge of what Christ's body did for you, look at the result is in verse 30. For this cause, what cause? Not discerning. My people are destroyed. Many are weak, sick, and sleep. That's the progression. Get weak, turn into sickness, and die among you. Now think about this. If you had a pie chart, and the headline of the pie chart was, why are people sick? The majority of the pie chart would be filled up by one category. Not discerning the Lord's body. He says it. He says, many people have died and are weak on the earth and are sick for one reason. They just don't know what Christ's body. And it's the only reason they're sick. Because if they knew, they'd have faith. And if they had faith, they'd use their faith and they wouldn't be sick anymore. They wouldn't be weak. They wouldn't die young and early. Hallelujah. So go back to Isaiah 53 and verse 4. And we're looking at the prophet here. Isaiah 53:4. Hopefully you used your little ribbon. But my ribbon's just sitting here in Isaiah 53:4. Dr. Dufresne's taking communion. He says, Lord, I don't understand this. And all at once. Now we know visions are the Bible talks about in Acts chapter 2 how visions are for here and now. I've had a few of them. Some of you have told me some that you have had. You don't want to seek these things, and they're, you know, we certainly don't get them every day, but they're biblical. Lord, what's this all about? And now knowing what Dr. Dufresne's ministry turned into be a healing ministry. We know why he had some of the visions he had. He said the church roof opened up and he could see the sky and he saw Jesus on the cross. He said he saw him hanging there and he said all of a sudden things began to fly through the air and hit Jesus. And when they would hit him, his body would jar and move and you could see that he was taking the effects of it. And he noticed, he looked closer and he saw they were the words of sickness and disease. He saw cancer fly through the air and hit Jesus. He saw tuberculosis fly through the air. And you know what Dr. Dufresne said? He said, I saw words that I didn't even know what they were. Well, he died long before there was ever a COVID-19. Did Dr. Dufresne see something go through the air that says COVID-19? He saw things that he didn't recognize. Why? Because they weren't even on the earth yet. But he saw them hitting. What was God doing? Showing Dr. Dufresne exactly what Isaiah saw. Isaiah saw the same thing. He might not have seen it in word form. He might have got it by word of knowledge that what's happening to Jesus on the cross is he's getting inundated with sickness and disease. But Dr. Dufresne saw literally the words hitting him, and every time a word would hit him, his body would jar. So on the cross, Jesus is getting hit with arthritis. Why? You can't be free from arthritis if Jesus wasn't hit with it, because the only way you're free is by and be redeemed from the curse by him hanging there. Amen. Jesus was hit with COVID-19. Jesus was hit with the Delta variant. Jesus was hit with cancer. Jesus was hit with tuberculosis. Jesus was hit with AIDS. Jesus was hit with every single thing mentioned and named that's not named as well. But we don't look on that. We look at the news and what people are saying and we fix our attention and we listen to constantly and we wonder why aren't we faith giants? We're worry giants and we're fear giants. Oh man, we have mastered those things. Why? Tension. Now, in closing, I want to share this last verse, Isaiah 52:14. When I said 10 minutes, I meant 15. Isaiah 52:14. Say, I don't know if I can believe that, Pastor Mike. Well, your healing hinges on you believing it. Being able to walk through this life not terrified when the world is up in arms again, and that depends on you knowing this and believing this. Isaiah 52:14, now remember, we're talking about the messianic prophet. He would have visions of Jesus years and years before. I want to wait till we get there. Isaiah 52:14. Look what it says. And many were astonished. That's a good old-fashioned King James way of saying astonished or appalled. One of the translations is appalled. It says, many were appalled at you. Looking at Jesus and just being astonished and appalled by him. Why? His visage. You know what his visage means? His appearance. His appearance was so marred. More than any other man. And his form, what's that mean? His appearance, his way he looked, more than the sons of men. I'm going to translate that into newer translations. I got three of them that will explain this to you better. Listen to what the Amplified says. You don't need to go there. For many, the servant of God became an object of horror. Appalled. Astonished. Many were astonished at him. Look at this. His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form, his look, beyond that, the sons of men, but just as many were astonished at him. It said that Jesus on the cross became an object of a horror film. You ever seen some of those things and you just look and it's nasty and it's like, oh, the creatures and things and the things in the horror film and how they make people to look and it's appalling and you're astonished at what it looks like. That was the Son of God on the cross. His face and whole appearance were marred more than any man. Well, crucifixion was not just singular to Jesus. That was the common way of putting people to death back then. But it says his crucifixion turned him into an object of horror more than any other man. He had people on his right and his left that day that died. They didn't turn into an object of horror and become, well, let me read to what it says in the NIV. Just as many as were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being. And his form marred beyond human likeness. He literally, because it said in the King James, he came more than the sons of men. He was so disfigured beyond what a human looks like. You're Jesus on the cross. And I've talked about this before, but we need to hear it again. Listen to what the Message Bible says, but he didn't begin that way. At first, everyone was appalled. He didn't even look human. A ruined face, disfigured, past recognition. If you were looking back in those days at Jesus on the cross, you wouldn't even think you were seeing a human being on there. Woo, I get chills thinking about what my Savior did for me. Now, but think about this. Jamming a crown of thorns on someone's head does not do that to them. Beating them in their back with the cat of nine tails does not make them not look human anymore. It doesn't. Putting someone on the cross, as horrible as it is, and nailing their hands and their feet does not change their face and their appearance. When someone hung on the cross, you don't walk by and say, what's up there? No, it's a person. But with Jesus, people said, I don't recognize him anymore. He doesn't even look human. Why did Jesus take only a few hours to die on the cross? And they didn't even break his legs. So what do you mean? Well, if you know anything about crucifixions, out of an act of mercy, they would break the people's legs. Why? Because the one of the things that would keep them alive is that they would slouch on the cross, they couldn't breathe, they would push up with their legs to get air, and so they would come in mercy, break their legs, not be able to push up, cause the death to come quicker. I know, wonderful picture. But Jesus, not a bone in his body, was broken. Hallelujah. What would cause his death when it would take sometimes days for these people? Was Jesus just weaker than everybody else? Would Jesus not take it? No. But when every sickness and every disease that's ever been and ever will be pelts you at once, your body, your figure, your appearance, your lifespan cannot stay the same. And that's what the prophet was seeing. He bore our sickness, and that's exactly what God told Dr. Dufresne when he cried out as a young man, what does communion mean? And communion says what? When you don't discern the Lord's body, the result is you're weak and sick and you sleep. Because his body, what? Paid the price for your healing. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, those that look on it, if we will look upon that Christ, that is the Alpha and Omega. That can cause us to not have to be scared of the Delta. to walk through this life knowing, yeah, we have Jesus, but I have a knowledge of Jesus and a faith that he paid for this thing that's on the earth. I can walk free of it. I don't have to have the effects of it. It's not going to take me out. I don't have to live scared, live worried and fearful. Why? Because I have the Alpha and Omega. Amen. This is what you take with you and gaze upon and put your ears on. What does that mean? Healing messages. Listening to this. I've done whole healing series. Pastor Nancy has YouTube on. All these ministers have their live streams and things. Find healing messages and fix your attention on those things. It's our answer. I think that it would be good. We're going to lay hands on the sick in a second because the Bible says that Jesus went about everywhere teaching, preaching. Well, what did I just do? I taught and I preached. But then there was a third element that went with it. And that's when I read that verse yesterday, the Holy Ghost said to me, and that's going to be the third element tomorrow. Teaching, preaching, healing. You know what a good service is? When there's teaching, preaching, and healing. So what we're going to do in a second is I'm going to call anybody up that needs healing in their body. Again, you might be standing in faith. You're not, when you come up, that's not you saying. And we'll have all ushers on deck. And then if you're an usher and you need healing at the end, we'll lay hands on you. It's not saying that when you come up, well, I must not be in faith because I'm believing. No, this is God reaching down to you and saying, here's the anointing for that sickness and disease. But before we do it, we're going to close our eyes and we're going to fix our gaze on the Savior on the cross. And I want you to think about what you're facing in your body. I want you to think about how the Bible says he took that for you so you could be rescued from it. Let's just close our eyes, worship him, put your attention on him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We thank you for the price that you paid that enables us to walk in the freedom that you purchased for us. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you so much. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are the great I am. But you are also, hallelujah, you are also Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord that healeth. And out of your own mouth, Jesus, you said, and they that believe will lay hands on the sick, and the result will be recovery. A result will be change. Why? Because we're taking the anointing of your healing and transmitting it. I'm not the healer. It's not this building that brings the healing, it's you. So we thank you this morning, Father, that when I lay hands on people, the anointing, the healing anointing of God is going to go in their bodies and it's going to cause a driving out of sickness and disease. Why? We shouldn't have to carry what you took and paid for. So at this time, I'm going to ask people to come up and come stand right up to the edge and get in a line shoulder to shoulder. If you need healing in your body, come forward. Come forward right now. Come forward. And any ushers that you know, your able body or feeling good in your body that can help catch, please, all hands on deck for that. Praise God. And then if you need healing yourself, of course, get in line for that. But Father, and when you're up here, when I go to minister to you, stop saying anything. But before then, just thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for my healing. Thank you, Jesus, for my healing. Just as simple as that. Thank you, Jesus, for my healing. Thank you, Jesus. And the Bible says when we pray, that's what we're doing. Your job is to believe you receive. Don't go back to your seat checking your symptoms. Don't wonder, did it go? No. The Bible says it will work. Sometimes it's a recovery. Sometimes it's instantaneous. The point is, let's get you to the end. Thank you, Father, for healing. We'll start on this end. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, be free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, be free from that. And then your job after that is, thank you, Jesus, for my healing. Thank you, Jesus, for my healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for freedom. Father, we thank you for healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for healing in the name, in the name, in the name. In the name of Jesus, be free. Be free, yes. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord, receive that healing. And just thank him for it. In the name of Jesus, be free. Hallelujah. We have a whole new perspective now. Brother, in the name of Jesus, be free, Jason. Receive that healing from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Let that go in you. I felt it come out of my hands. In the name of Jesus, Carla, be free from that. Hallelujah. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. In the name of Jesus, Trevor, praise God. In the name of Jesus, that precious, powerful name, be healed. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. In the name of Jesus, Sandy, glory to God. Hallelujah. In the name, Jenny, hallelujah. You are the baby, Phil. Both need, Father, in the name of Jesus, the healing anointing going in both of them, driving it out. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You're adorable. Hallelujah. Come on, step right over here, Lynn. We'll get you in. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. You took it. You took it, Jesus. You are the baby. Oh, Father, just thank you for her precious thing. In the name of Jesus, we command that healing power to go in her. Top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Thank you for it. Change, 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 change is coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, why do we lay hands? Because that's the instructions Jesus gave us. In the name of Jesus, be free, brother. Which one of you three? All three? One? Just one, Father? Well, are you want hands laid on you as well? Father, in the name, top of her head to the bottom of her feet, that healing anointing. Father, in the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Father, in the name of Jesus, yes, be free. Oh, yeah. In the name, Darren, be free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kimline? Yes. Now, if you wonder, you say here, why is he laying hands on a cloth? The Bible says in Acts that Paul, the God wrought special miracles through the hands of Paul, that even handkerchiefs were brought to him when he laid hands on him, and when they were brought and laid on the sick, it caused a change. You say, well, what about that? Well, remember the woman with the issue of blood? How'd she get her healing? She touched his garment. Which tells us, in what Paul told us, that the healing anointing can be transmitted through cloth. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we release that healing anointing that when this is brought and laid upon the sick, Father, it will cause a recovery and a driving out of sickness and disease in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Any ushers? Any that need? Jim? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Jim, be free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just thank him. Again, why are we doing this? Jesus said in Mark 16:18, and they'll lay hands on the sick. We got to just do what he says. But that's not how I grew up. That's not what they taught me. Well, then someone didn't teach you the Bible. The Bible is where we get power. So let's thank him for our healing. If there's anybody else that needs healing, can you... Go check with, if any of your kids are in children's church and need hands laid on them, go get them. If there's any nursery worker or anything, Mary Jo, can you see if I don't know who's doing it, if they would want, I don't want anybody to miss out. This was dropped in me by the Holy Ghost. God wants to put on a show, praise God. Thank you, Father, for healing. Let's just keep that reverence, that honor. Now remember, I still have the symptoms. That's not a determination of whether or not you're healed. Your faith is a determination. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. That's the thing you take with you. Not this. Don't let the symptoms lie to you. They're liars. You go forward and you say, I'll have this. It's coming. Healing's showing up. I am healed. Power's in me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, in the name, in the name of Jesus, be free, Michelle. Receive that. Hallelujah. Say, well, I didn't feel anything. I don't mean you, I mean anybody. Well, I didn't feel anything. It doesn't matter. Sometimes you feel it, sometimes you don't. I've had hands laid on me, and I felt it, and I've had hands on me, and I haven't. Come here, Carl. Come here, buddy. Proud of you. Jesus loves you so much, buddy. Come on up. Father, in the name of Jesus, just thank you for him. He's precious. Father, anything that's going on in there, you're bigger. Thank you that the anointing goes in him, drives out anything that's trespassing, it's not going to be in there. We say that he is a mighty man of God, and he's going to go on to do great and mighty things for you in Jesus' name. Do you believe that, buddy? Can you do me a favor? Start thanking Jesus. Anytime you think of, thank you, Jesus, for healing me, okay? Love you, bud. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. You're so good. Father, love you so much. Are we good, everybody? Let's just stand up and praise him. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. We love you. Love you and honor and praise you. Thank you for your word being true. We look at you on the cross and what you took for us. You took our infirmities. Thank you. Thank you, healer. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget there's fellowship. Love and appreciate you. See you next Sunday. You are dismissed. Praise God.